You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Carla Berenice Garcia Ramirez is a journalist from Mexico whose stories about government corruption led to death threats against her and her family. She fled to Canada, where she made a refugee claim. That claim was turned down by the Immigration and Refugee Board, and now her only hope is an appeal to the Canadian government to allow her to stay on humanitarian and compassionate grounds. An increasing number of refugees are finding themselves in the same predicament, victims of a radical change in the Canadian government's approach to refugee claims. To discuss the new reality for asylum seekers in Canada, I'm joined by Rick Goldman. He's a lawyer and coordinator of the Committee to Aid Refugees, a church-based non-profit organization that advocates on behalf of refugee claimants. Rick Goldman joins me today from Montreal. Hello, Rick.
Good morning.
Now, I want to start with Mexico. In 2009, Immigration Minister Jason Kenney imposed visa requirements on Mexicans coming to Canada. What was his rationale for doing that?
Well, his rationale was that there were too many, quote-unquote, bogus refugees coming from Mexico. In other words, people who weren't really refugees, but in his view were coming for economic reasons. Now, in my work, I know that there are many people who are genuinely in danger in Mexico, like the journalist that you mentioned, and we are dealing with a number of cases. For example, my committee is dealing with a case of three orphans whose parents were killed by drug traffickers, and despite that, Canada still wants to send them back, and they're in a similar process to the journalist that you mentioned. They're applying on humanitarian grounds to stay in Canada. So we know, those of us who work with refugees from first-hand experience, there is a certain percentage of the Mexicans who were coming who were genuinely in danger, although Mr. Kenney chose to tar them all with the same brush of being bogus refugees or economic migrants and slam the door on their potential arrivals to Canada.
So what kind of people would have been able to file a refugee claim under the pre-visa system that can't get here now?
Well, and under the pre-visa system, all you had to do was buy a ticket with Air Canada or, you know, the Mexican airline, arrive at an airport here, and claim refugee status. So there was no type of pre-screening, pre-selection, or anything like that. So anyone could claim refugee status. The ones who were succeeding were the ones with the strongest claims, and I think that the official acceptance rate in the year before they imposed the visa was about 11%, which gives you an idea that because there were something like 10,000 Mexicans arriving each year before they put the visa, it gives you an idea that even under our fairly stringent standards for judging refugee claims, a lot of people needed protection. I mean, more than 1,000 people were being accepted for protection in Canada, and this is an extremely large number of people. Then there are others, like the case I mentioned and the journalist that you mentioned, who very possibly should have been accepted, but because of different flaws in our system weren't and are struggling to stay here under the couple of appeals or recourses that are available. So if we add the 1,000 or so every year who actually being recognized as refugees to at least another couple of hundred who probably should have been and are struggling to stay under the various recourses, we're talking about quite a few, we're talking about maybe 2,000 people a year who, now are not able to get here because there's a blanket slamming of the door by the imposition of this visa requirement.
Does the Canadian government track what happens to people whose refugee claims are turned down and who are then deported?
Not at all. It's Canada's view, and I think it's a very bad thing that it's their view, the view of the Canadian government, that once they are on their home territory, it's not our problem. And sometimes this does rebound, and since we're talking about Mexico, there was a very, very well-publicized, for tragic reasons, case of a woman. I don't think this was her real name, but in the media she was called Gris, who had said that she had been the victim of threats and violence in Mexico. This was, like for most Mexicans, disbelieved. As she was deported and she was killed. And so this was quite well publicized, not because the Canadian government was worried about her, but because different non-governmental organizations like the Canadian Council for Refugees, and I think Amnesty was involved as well, do sometimes try to follow up these cases. And in fact, much too late in the game, but to Canada's partial credit, the Canadian government agreed to readmit the surviving members of her family to Canada, so at least some of them made it back here.
I want to turn to look at the Immigration and Refugee Board. Who chooses who gets on that board?
At this very moment, as we speak, under the current law, they are chosen by the Minister of Immigration. There is a process which does, in some sense, evaluate their qualifications and take, you know, the more qualified candidates. It's a long process with a written exam and interviews and so on. Then a certain number, I mean, let's say we use the figure of 50, go to the minister each year, and then the minister can choose, let's say, 10 or 15, however many he decides to nominate this year from that list. So on the positive side, everybody has to meet some kind of, you know, basic standard of competency. On the negative side, of those who meet the minimum standard of competency, the minister is entirely free to choose which ones he wants. And, you know, we don't know what he's doing. He doesn't say out loud. But if he knows that some of them were involved with the Tory party or some were notorious anti-refugee spokespersons of institutes like the Fraser Institute, because we have somebody exactly like that in Montreal, a fellow by the name of Stephen Gallagher, who wrote articles, wrote papers published by the Fraser Institute, saying how we have too many refugees and immigrants and it's just destroying our culture and all this type of thing. He was named to the Immigration and Refugee Board and has an extremely low acceptance rate, which is not too surprising given his background. All that to say, it's the minister who chooses them. Everybody has to have a certain level of competency that is done through objective tests, but at the end of the day, the minister chooses who gets on and who doesn't.
And what has happened to the overall rate of acceptance of refugee claims?
It has gone down in recent years, radically, but, you know, to give some context, for many years it hovered around 45%. The last year or two, it's gone down to about 38%, so we're not talking about going down, you know, to single digits, but it has decreased.
I understand that, however, that there are some board members, and I don't know if you have this information, who are in the single digits.
Absolutely. He's one of this fellow I mentioned, Mr. Gallagher. I believe the figure I saw was 8% acceptance rate. There is, for listeners who are interested in looking into this, they can go on the Canadian Council of Refugees website, just Google those three words, Canadian Council of Refugees, and they'll see that the studies of a professor named Sean Rahag from Osgoode Hall, he's the one who has really spearheaded the research on this, they'll get access to this, and they'll see the whole range. It ranges from, I think there's some that go years, like, you know, entire year without accepting somebody, but definitely a number in single digits and ranges up to acceptance rates of, say, you know, 60-70%.
Now, the government brought in the Balanced Refugee Reform Act in June of 2010. What changes were made to the refugee process in that act?
Well, so far, none that actually affect the process of selecting refugees. There's only one change in effect, and that has to do with the assessment of humanitarian applications. That is normally what people do if they refuse their refugee claim. As to the selection or rejection of refugees by the Immigration and Refugee Board, those are not in effect. In theory, they're supposed to come into effect in June 2012, 2 years after the law was passed. There's a number of complex things which could come into effect on that day if the government does nothing between now and June, simply enacts the law as it was passed 2 years ago. However, there's very, very strong rumors to the effect that the government is going to take this law back to Parliament very shortly, quite possibly in the next weeks, reopen it and make it harsher, because in June 2010, as we all may recall, there was a minority government. The government introduced quite a harsh law, and due to compromises, which they had no choice but to accept in the context of a minority parliament, many of the worst aspects were taken out. If they come back in a majority situation, as they are in now, we fear that they will reintroduce the things that they were forced to take out 2 years ago.
And what are some of those things?
Okay, well, one of the things they have introduced is something called a designated country list, which is sometimes referred to as a white list of countries. In other words, countries that the government thinks don't normally produce refugees. And two countries that we think are probably at the top of the government's list, which is not made official yet, are Mexico and Hungary, because Mexico produced a large number of refugee claimants till the visa requirement was put in, and Hungary now has a large number of Rom or Gypsy claimants who are coming to ask for refugee status. Now, the thing is that the government wants to in some way curtail, some way limit their rights. Two of the things that it had in mind are to fast-track their cases, and that's the first thing, and the second thing would be to deny them a right to appeal in a negative decision. Now, both of those were introduced in the 2010 original version of the bill. The government was forced to scrap the second part, that is, taking away the right of appeal. They had to reintroduce the right of appeal. So what we're afraid is for this list, which has yet to be revealed, of countries that the government thinks is safe, that they will reintroduce this suppression of the right of appeal. That would be one of the worst things that they can do, and that's one of the things that we're afraid of.
Do you have a sense of how, let's say, Mexico were on the white list? Mexicans currently have to have visas. Is there an interaction there that Mexico would go on the white list and then the visa requirement would be lifted so people could come but they wouldn't have a hope of getting a refugee claim?
I think that's exactly the government's idea, that if they make the refugee claim system so tough and so quick that they can lift the visa on a country like Mexico, and they won't have to worry about a large influx of people coming because, you know, in their view, everybody's a fake refugee anyway, so why bother spending a few thousand dollars when you're going to be, you know, turned around and sent out the door in 2 or 3 months? I think that is exactly their idea.
So this is coming up in the next few weeks?
Well, you know, we're in the area of rumors because the government is not tipping its hand as to when it's going to go back to Parliament with this, or even that it will. The strongest rumor seems to be mid-February, and again, I caution people, these are rumors, but the strongest rumor seems to be mid-February. Immigration Minister Jason Kenney is going to return to Parliament with a series of changes to this law, which, you know, is supposed to come into effect in June.
Well, we'll have to keep our eye on that. Thank you so much, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Jane.
I've been speaking with Rick Goldman. He's a lawyer and coordinator of the Committee to Aid Refugees in Montreal.